It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. We're talking this hour about the September issue of Smithsonian Magazine. It's called Black in America, and the issue coincides with the opening of the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. Georgia Congressman John Lewis has been pushing for this museum for years. His story as one of the original Freedom Riders is included in the issue. The Freedom Riders included more than a dozen civil rights activists who traveled to Mississippi and Alabama to fight segregation on transit systems. Congressman Lewis spoke recently with my colleague Adam Ragusea about the third and final installment of his graphic novel series called March. Here's John Lewis describing its portrayal of his life.
It tells the story of my growing up in book one on a farm. In rural Alabama, 50 miles from Montgomery, outside of a little place called Troy. And growing up there, I remember when I was 4 years old, my father had saved $300 and a man sold him 110 acres of land that my family still own today. And if we would visit the little town of Troy, or visit Montgomery, or visit Tuskegee, I saw these signs that said white men, white women, colored women. And I've asked my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, why? They were saying, that's the way it is. Don't get in the way. Don't get in trouble. But the words and the teaching of Dr. King and the action of Rosa Parks inspired me to find a way to get in trouble. And I got in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. And I think as young people and people not so young read March, especially book one, and later book two, and book three, they will understand that I, for one, and many others, grew up and becoming committed to the way of peace, the way of love, the way of nonviolence.
Congressman, I think about you and the work that you did in Selma and elsewhere with Martin Luther King. I think about you often as I'm watching the Black Lives Matter movement play out. There was a moment when some Black Lives Matter protesters were blocking interstates in downtown Atlanta recently, and I was struck by how even people like Mayor Kasim Reed, who's very sympathetic to the movement, was saying, listen, guys, you know, I respect your right to protest. I hear where you're coming from. I share your anger about police brutality, particularly as it is directed disproportionately to African Americans. But please do not block public highways. I'm curious, Congressman Lewis, when you guys went over that bridge in Selma, did you have legal permission to block that road?
When we attempted to march, on March 7, 1965, from Selma to Montgomery. It was 600 of us. We were walking in twos. We never attempted to block the bridge or block the highway when we left the bridge. We were walking in orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion. It was like military discipline. We didn't try to disrupt or traffic. We were taught to act in an orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion. We studied, we prepared ourselves.
Yeah.
And we later got a court order from a federal judge after we were beaten and left bloody, and the judge granted us the permission to walk all the way from Selma to Montgomery. And because of the violence that happened in Selma on Bloody Sunday, President Lyndon Johnson ordered federal troops to protect us all the way from Selma to Montgomery.
Yeah.
People have a right to march in an orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion.
Well, when people criticize the Black Lives Matter movement, one of the things they say is that it's important to maintain law and order, rule of law in public spaces. Was that not the justification that was given for beating you and your friends on that bridge in Selma?
The governor of Alabama at the time, Governor George C. Wallace, the Alabama state troopers, and other law enforcement individuals said in effect that the march would not be allowed. They ordered us to disperse and return to our homes or to our church. But in America, as Dr. King was there, You have a right to protest for what is right. You have a right to dissent. It's protected and guaranteed by the Constitution. Freedom of assembly. People all across America, and I believe the President of the United States and the federal courts felt like our rights have been violated.
Congressman Lewis, I'm curious, when you look at Black Lives Matter today, what do you think about the movement from a strategic standpoint, from a tactical standpoint? How do you feel about the kinds of protests that the people who are protesting under this banner have mounted?
Well, I have met with some members of Black Lives Matter in Atlanta and other parts of America. And I said, whatever you do, do it in an orderly, peaceful, nonviolent fashion. And you try to appeal to the conscience of people. There's a lot of issues that they're confronting, but always respect the rights of others. When you see police officers, when I see police officers, and I tell Black Lives Matter people, respect officers. I said to them over and over again, I said, thank you for your service.
Yeah. Congressman Lewis, the world that we see in the graphic novels in the March series is one in which you are using these tactics that are now very familiar to us after having lived through the civil rights movement or seen it in the recent history, which is tactics like marches, tactics like sit-ins, civil disobedience. You brought one of those tactics back recently. You and your Democratic colleagues in the House staged a sit-in on the House floor demanding that the Republican leadership allow votes on gun control measures. Unfortunately, it looks as though that sit-in did not have quite the effect that you were hoping for. How do you look back on that experience?
I look back on it with a great deal of not just drama, but it's something that we had to do. We have been trying for many, many years since I've been in Congress to get the Congress to do something about the proliferation of guns in our society. We lost too many of our children, our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, and seemed like no one has listened. I felt in talking and meeting with some of my colleagues that we had to do something that was out of regular order.
Yeah.
And we spoke on the floor, and then we just took seats. And every place that I've traveled since then, all over America, people walk up and say, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, but thank you for what you did. Airline pilots walk back when I'm riding the plane, the flight attendants will say thank you on the streets, they say thank you. We have to do something, and I think we will. This is not the end of what we tried to do. We out of the Congress until sometime in September. We will continue to find a way to push the issue, to dramatize the issue, to make it real that we have to put an end to gun violence. We're losing too many of our citizens. You know, I met President Kennedy in 1963 when I was 23. I met Martin Luther King Jr. in 1958 at the age of 18. I got to know Robert Kennedy. These three young men, three young leaders, killed by guns. And people like Medgar Evers in Mississippi, and there have been many others, people in the movement that were shot and murdered. Every day in a city like Atlanta or Chicago, someone has been murdered, and we have to stop it.
That's Georgia Congressman John Lewis speaking with Adam Ragusea. Lewis details his experience as one of the original Freedom Riders in this month's issue of Smithsonian Magazine.